Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of my very favorite photographers in the entire history of photography is Minor White. And I'm hoping that all of you who are listening to this are at least somewhat familiar with Minor White's work and his philosophy. He's sort of known as the guru, the Zen guru, if you will, of fine art photography. I think because he promoted a sort of mystical image for himself. There's no question that he had in his lifetime studied a little bit of Zen, and there is that famous photograph of him, a portrait, with his long flowing white hair sitting on the ground. Kind of looks like maybe he's lecturing to a group of students. I don't think he discouraged the image of himself as some sort of photographic guru. And of course, he titled one of his most well-known images, The Sound of One Hand, which of course is a reference to an old Zen koan, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And as a long-term listener or reader of Lenswork, you've probably run across many times that great phrase of his, don't photograph what it is, photograph what else it is. Which is sort of a mystical way of thinking about photography and promotes that idea that he's a deeper thinker, a deeper photographer than just a surface photographer. The question for those of us who are not only fans of his, but fans of photography, is what did he mean by that? What does it mean to photograph what else it is? I think it's possible to interpret that phrase as somehow a mystical phrase. And you've heard me say from time to time that artists are seers in the mystical sense of the word. Their role in society is to see things which other people can't see for themselves, and thereby bring somehow the mysteries of life to others through the sensitivity and production of artwork. And I think there is some connection to Minor White's idea there about photographing what else it is. But that can get pretty deep and pretty heavy and pretty woo-woo real quickly, and I don't think it needs to be. I tend to think of Minor White's advice as relating to the idea of metaphor, that is to say, a symbol that stands in for something else. The technical definition of metaphor, I looked it up on the internet, a word or phrase that ordinarily designates one thing, but is actually used to designate another. That is to say, the thing shown in the photograph designates something else other than itself, what else it is. The classic might be a sunrise as the beginning of something, or conversely, the sunset as an ending of something, or fall leaves as a part of the cycle of life. Those fallen leaves are used as a symbol for something else, a symbol for our existence, not just the existence of the trees and the leaves. When we try to use photography to photograph what else it is, the photograph points to an idea that's bigger than the thing photographed. For example, pepper number 30 is not just a picture of a pepper, although on one level it is. But on another level, it's all about sensuality beyond the pepper. We can almost see in the pepper the sensuality of human beings. And of course, Edward Weston was well known as a photographer of the female form. Pepper number 30 is an important image in Weston's life because it relates so well to the sensuality that he incorporated in all kinds of other subjects, not just peppers. There were cabbage leaf pictures and banana pictures and etc. He was interested in sensuality, and Pepper number 30 perhaps is the best of his images of vegetables and botanical materials that represents sensuality. Another way is to think in terms of an icon that acts as a symbol to something larger than itself. The classic example there that always comes to my mind is the picture of Florence Owens Thompson. And you might say, who's Florence Owens Thompson? Well, she was the individual photographed by Dorothea Lange in a classic, iconic image now known as Migrant Mother. This is not a family portrait of Florence Owens Thompson. It's a picture of her, but the picture is not about her. She is a stand-in, a symbol, an icon of something much larger that Dorothea Lange was trying to communicate through her pictures about the FSA, the Dust Bowl, that whole era of American history. Photographs are mostly about something tangible, because photographs of the ephemeral are, well, they're possible, but they're not the common way that we use a camera. We point our camera at something or someone like Florence Owens Thompson, and we click the shutter, and we make an image. And although we could say at one level that Migrant Mother is a picture of Florence Owens Thompson, that's really not the purpose of the photograph. The purpose of the photograph is to use her as a symbol for what so many of her fellow Americans were enduring at the time during the Great Migration and the Dust Bowl. So when you photograph what else it is, that's one of the ways you can do so, is by using what you photograph as a symbol for something else, as a stand-in, as something that represents an idea that's bigger than the thing photographed. Another example I always think of is the work of Ansel Adams in Yosemite. I thought in my youth that what Ansel Adams was doing was showing us Yosemite. But that idea about his photography evaporated instantly the first time I went to Yosemite and saw with my own eyes that the Yosemite he photographed was not the Yosemite I was experiencing. His photography is about pristine nature, unspoiled nature, nature that is amazingly unpopulated by human existence. Well, try going to Yosemite and experiencing that. That's not what you see at Yosemite. So what did he photograph? Well, he photographed something that became a symbol or an icon for a bigger idea, in this case, environmentalism, the pristine value of nature, our relationship to nature, our responsibility to care for nature. All of that was a part of what he photographed in all of that wonderful work he did in Yosemite and the Sierra Nevadas. But if you actually go and stand where he stood, that won't be what you experience. His photographs are not pictures of Yosemite. They're pictures about our relationship with nature. And I think that's one of the reasons he's become so popular, because that's an idea that is absolutely universal. Who doesn't love pristine nature? And he certainly did. And he photographed nature in a way that presented that to us, even though probably, even when he was photographing it back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, etc., it probably wasn't always exactly the way he photographed it, but he chose specific camera positions and angles and subjects to show us a kind of Yosemite that he wanted to show us. His photography is a philosophical statement about man's relationship to nature. That's a much bigger thing than pictures of Yosemite. Another of my favorite images to illustrate this point is Navigation Without Numbers by Wynne Bullock, one of my favorite photographs of all time. As a matter of fact, probably the single photograph that got me involved in photography when I was young, more than any others. Navigation Without Numbers, if you're not familiar with the image, shows an interior room with a very large bed and a black bedspread covering the entire bed, in the middle of which is a naked young boy, probably just a matter of months old. And over to the side is a woman, naked, head bowed in sort of a position of suffering or bewilderment. And important to note that neither the woman nor the baby are famous individuals. Like Florence Owens Thompson, they are stand-ins, they are symbols. They point to some message that's bigger than what we see in the photograph. How each of us would interpret that image can be different based on our experience, based on what we bring to the photograph. But for me, what that photograph is a symbol of is the challenges of that unwed mother and her son facing the beginning stages of life, and how they are both, in their own way, going to have to face the future without direction, navigation without numbers. And this image evokes a tremendous sense of compassion on our part for the challenges that she and her son will face. I guess the way I think about this is in three levels, if you will. A picture can be a picture of something and simply represent what it looks like. That's what I've often referred to as camera as Xerox copy machine. Or a picture can be about something. It can tell us more than just what we see. There may be details that are revealed, or perhaps the caption will tell us more about what we're seeing. But still, at that level, the picture is about the thing that's in the photograph. That's a little more difficult than showing us a picture of something, because somehow we have to communicate what it's about without words, at least most of the time. Maybe with a title, maybe with a caption, but a lot of the times without that. That's the storytelling within a single photograph. It's a complex thing to do, but it can be done. And generally speaking, as a fine art product, photographs that tell us about something are a bit more meaningful than pictures of something. But pictures about something are not the end. I think pictures that point to something else, the iconic, the symbolic, the universal, those are the pictures that really rise to the level of art. Because that's what art does. When we look at a piece of art, that's part of our challenge as viewers. What is this a picture of? What is this a picture about? What does it point to? What is it a symbol for? What is the artist asking us to think about that may not be obvious, that may be hidden or shrouded, I might say, in the symbolism of the age, the symbolism the artist chose to use, in whatever thoughts and experience we bring to the viewing of a picture? When a piece of artwork or a photograph points us to something else, what it's likely to do is point us to the iconic, to the symbolic, to the universal. Perhaps one of the best examples from the pages of Lenswork comes in a project titled Beware of Dog by Martha Kasanave that was published in Lenswork number 44 back in December of 2002. This is a portfolio that consists of pictures of her and her dog, mostly her dog. There's only a couple of examples in the portfolio where you can see something other than the dog. Martha's foot, for example, is in one of the images. So she's taken pictures of her pet, and it would be so easy for these to be perfectly forgettable family snapshots. I'll bet we all have them, pictures of our pets, and they're our pets, and we love the pictures because we love the pets. But that's not what her project is about. It's not about her dog. Notice in the title, for example, the title she uses is Beware of Dog. She did not say Beware of My Dog, although that's what these are pictures of. She also did not title it Beware of Dogs, as though as a species, dogs are something we should be concerned and afraid about. No, that's not it. She also did not title this project Beware of This Dog, thereby disconnecting the idea that this dog is her dog. No, the title of the project is Beware of Dog. And the careful use of that title creates a scenario where we're looking at it not as an individual dog, but this dog, her dog, is a symbol, is a stand-in, is an iconic representation of the concept of how dogs can so capture our hearts. They can so easily become a member of the family. And we see that in her pictures. The dog seems to almost smile, and the dog is playful, and the dog has clearly captured her heart. This is a project not about her dog, but about pet ownership and the love and bond that can happen between owner and animal. Martha Kasanave has made her project an art project, not a family snapshot project, by turning her dog into a universal symbol for pet ownership and for our relationship with the pets, the bond between us and them that is so powerful. That's what makes her project interesting. It's not about a dog, not about her dog, not about all dogs. The project shows pictures of her dog, but is really pointing to something else, pointing to the bond between dog and dog owner. If Cassaneve had stopped and just said, here's pictures of my dog, it probably would have been of no interest to any of us, but very interesting to her. By turning her dog into a universal icon for the love and bond between animal and owner, she's now made something that we can all relate to, and suddenly her project is elevated to something of universal interest because she turned it into a universal emotion and response. Another example of how photographers create art by the way they relate to the subject they've actually photographed is in a project called Harbinger by Cole Thompson that we published in Lenswork number 132 in September of 2017. This is a project about solitary clouds and an otherwise blank sky and their relationship to the landscape. And by using the title Harbinger, Thompson elevates this from pictures of clouds to clouds that point to something else that's not currently happening, that's going to happen in the future. The title Harbinger points us to a time not yet photographable, something that hasn't actually happened yet. Those little clouds are a harbinger of what may happen in the future, which might involve more clouds or fewer clouds, but they're a transition point. And with a simple one-word title, Thompson reveals his relationship to this moment. He sees something meaningful in it that goes beyond, isn't this a picture of a pretty cloud? I find it useful to think of these kinds of things as levels of involvement, that is to say, how we look at and relate to photographs. The first question we always ask, because we can't help but ask it, is, what is it? When we look at a photograph and we ask, what is it, we identify it. We usually verbalize it. It's pepper number 30, not shiny gray tones number 30. We identify what the thing is. The next level is, why was it photographed? Thompson proposes that these individual small clouds in a blank sky are meaningful because they're pointing to something that's going to happen. He introduces time into still photography. Why was it photographed? Because that's what he wanted to do, was show us something about time, something about the moment that is beyond, isn't this a pretty cloud? So first level, what it is. Second level, why was it photographed? Third level, what does this image have to do with me? That is to say, when I look at a photograph or a painting or a sculpture or listen to music or whatever, what is its purpose? Its purpose is to evoke our imagination somehow, to get us to think beyond what we see and recognize the thing painted, the tune played, the dialogue in the novel, the content of the photograph are all pointing to something. And it's our challenge as viewers to see if we can become sensitive enough to see what that artwork points to appreciate it on a deeper level than here's a picture of a pepper, here's a picture of a cloud, here's a picture of a dog. The whole purpose of artwork, and certainly that includes fine art photography, is to evoke that viewer's imagination beyond what they're seeing. Of course, ultimately, their appreciation will include all three levels. We look at pepper number 30 and say, oh, that's a picture of a pepper. I wonder why Edward Weston photographed it. Is he saying something about sensuality, about light, about shape, about existence? We can each have our own interpretation of any given image. But the important part from an art maker's point of view is that somehow something gets evoked in their imagination and their response carries them further than this is a picture of something or a picture about something. I think all of this brings up a very important question, which is, where does the art making happen? Well, it clearly doesn't happen in the cameras. We all know that because cameras just make images of something. That's all they can do. So cameras don't make art. We all know that, which implies that as art makers, it's our task to move beyond the of something level of photography. At the very least, we'd like our photographs to say something about the subject, but an even loftier goal is to say something about life. To use metaphor, to, as Minor White said, don't photograph what it is, photograph what else it is. To use the photograph to evoke questions, memories, feelings. In other words, a relationship between the artwork and the viewer. Where does this happen? Does it happen in the field? Does for some. Photographers recognize the symbolic before they click the shutter. Great. That's good for them. I wish I had that talent. But I don't. That's the approach of Minor White, who saw the mystical before he clicked the shutter, and Jerry Uelsman, who gathered assets, as I've talked about before, and then constructed the artwork back in his darkroom in his famous recombinant images. All of us can use a camera to take a picture of something. It requires a little more effort, a little more work, a little more sensitivity, perhaps even a little more skill, to use a photograph to say something about the subject. But bringing forth that sense of the imagination and to escalate the photograph to the universal, to the symbolic, to the metaphorical, that requires a different kind of work. Obviously, more than just pointing the camera and clicking the shutter to create the proper exposure. Each of us has to think carefully about our relationship with photography and what we're doing. Are we making pictures of things? Are we making pictures about things? Or are we making pictures that point to other things? And if so, how do we do that? Where do we do that? What are the tools needed? In Martha Kasanev's project about her dog, she needed the sensitivity to see her dog as symbolic. With Ansel Adams' pictures of Yosemite, he needed a clear vision about what he was trying to portray. In Cole Thompson's project, he needed the awareness to recognize the moment when it happened and to incorporate that moment of time in his images with the title Harbinger. One of the things that I love about photography is there's so many different ways to approach it. I tend to divide my work, as I've talked about before, between what I do in the field to capture assets and what I do back at home in the studio to create something using those assets that hopefully points to something else beyond the what that I've photographed. So when Minor White suggests that we not limit ourselves to photograph what it is, but to photograph what else it is, I choose to interpret that as an invitation to use photography as a metaphor, as a symbol, as an iconic stand-in for an idea or a response to the visual world that is beyond merely showing what we photographed. So I tend to think that cameras make photographs of something, photographers make photographs about something, and artists make photographs that point to something else, maybe something that's not even in the photograph itself. And that's where art and photography join forces.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.